The epistle for the fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar, from Sinai, in which a mountain is Arabia, which had affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that breakest not, bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, but as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, but the freedom wherewith Christ had made us free. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he had done on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pass, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Please be seated. I arose today through God's strength to pilot me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words come from St. Patrick. St. Patrick's feast we celebrated yesterday, St. Patrick being the Apostle of Ireland. He lived during the 4th century. And St. Patrick, as a boy, he was kidnapped. Kidnapped and brought to Ireland to be as a prisoner. So when he had his chance, he was able to leave Ireland. But then in a dream, God, he had admonished him to return to his people, to bring them to him, to convert these people. And so St. Patrick realized the obligation that he had to come back to these people and then to truly convert them. And so St. Patrick, with his life, he would spend it in penance, laboring for the conversion of these people, to try to help these people, to bring them closer to God. And so, yes, he would spend his life beseeching God for that then. He realized this was an obligation God gave to him, and so therefore he needed that help from God to be able to convert these people. So it is said of St. Patrick that he went and fasted on a mountain until God would grant the fact that he would save the people. That he would save the people that were entrusted to his care. St. Patrick also, he had prayed the 150 Psalms in cold water as a penance. Obviously, it's not something that I recommend to you. It was a grace that was given to St. Patrick. But he mortified himself to convert these people. He spent his time working and striving to try to bring the people closer to God. That is why we have the famous story of St. Patrick, of taking the shamrock and preaching it to the people. He took something that was commonplace to them, the shamrock, the three leaves, and he explained to them about the Trinity, taking this mysterious doctrine, a difficult doctrine to explain, and he tried to help them to see of how there are three persons and one God. And as I say, he takes something that is just so commonplace, something that is so simple, and he shows it to them so that they can learn and they can gain that knowledge about God. And that is one of the things that St. Patrick tried to do for the people, to take them from their pagan ways. There's the many stories of St. Patrick fighting the Druids, these pagans that were bringing the people away from God, bring them to idolatry. And he fought them through the grace of God in order for the people to understand that. And so through his example, through his fasting, through his preaching, he was able to convert the people. Convert the people and, in a sense, to convert the whole country. Through St. Patrick and through his work that would go later on, he would bring the country to Catholicism, the entire country. And many have called that Ireland has been the last bastion. Unfortunately now, it seems Ireland is still going now the way of the West, of slipping away from their faith, which is sad. It is a Catholic country. And so from that is what St. Patrick worked for, to convert the entire country, to bring them to God, to make them Catholic. And that is why then he had established the religious order, St. Bridget of Ireland. She's kind of considered the woman's saint like St. Patrick. That these two would then start the religious communities, and monasticism would go out from Ireland and help to convert other countries, to bring them to God. Irish monasticism is one of the beginnings of true monasticism. And they had that desire and that love for God, that they would give their life for God. And that is what St. Patrick did. He gave his whole life for God at that point. Yes, he had to be brought to that point by God. He had to be converted to that. But then once from that, St. Patrick gave everything that he could. And through his labors, through his work, Ireland has gained the name of the land of saints and scholars. And it's because of the hard work of St. Patrick establishing the country, and then those that carried on the work of St. Patrick, that it would be given this title of saints and scholars. Those that studied the faith, those that would go out and preach, and as I say, the monks would go out to different countries to convert the people. But then saints, because they gave everything for God. The Irish monks were known for their asceticism of giving up everything for God. It was almost like it was all or nothing for the Irish. Interesting. And so they would try to go out and to convert the people. And St. Patrick, that is what he established, that is what he started. As I say, he had to fight first off the Druids, these pagans. But it showed that St. Patrick was working with the grace of God in order to convert these people. And through the time, St. Patrick would compose the famous Lorica, the breastplate of St. Patrick. This breastplate was his profession of faith. Through that, it showed his true belief in Almighty God. It is something that he composed. It is something that he lived by. And again, when we have these different prayers, when we have these famous sayings, maybe we're familiar with the breastplate. But for St. Patrick, it wasn't just idle words. It wasn't just empty words. He truly believed in what he composed. And what he composed shows his true faith in God. But he goes through and explains as many different stanzas. But it shows his true faith. I'll quote a little bit of the breastplate to show to you what St. Patrick, what he believed in. He says, "Christ be with me, Christ in the front, Christ in the rear, Christ within me. Christ below me, Christ above me, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left." That's a famous part that I think a lot of people are familiar with. But that is just one stanza of the whole breastplate. One stanza of the true belief of St. Patrick, this profession of faith that he had. And as I say, when we look at this, it shows St. Patrick's true confidence in God, that Christ would be with me. Christ would be with me at all times, in front of me, behind me, to the left, to the right. And that is how he lived his life. He lived his life of realizing that Christ was within him. And that we can mirror with St. Paul, that I live not I, but Christ liveth in me. St. Patrick lived those same words. He lived those words and he preached those words to people. And so that is what is important for us to understand when we see the saints, when we see these feast days and celebrate them. I'm sure most people are Irish, were Irish yesterday, whether they are or not, because it is St. Patrick. But we also have to understand what we are celebrating. We are celebrating the Apostle of Ireland, one who converted an entire country. And to this day, I mean, his work still continues on. And so that is what we have to understand. What is the spirituality of St. Patrick? It is one of fasting, it is one of mortification, it is one of preaching the Word of God. And that is why, I mean, during this time period of Lent, it is very fitting to see that example of St. Patrick. To see through the breastplate, through his profession of faith, of what he stood for and what he believed in. And that is why then for us, when we pray the breastplate or when we have a devotion to St. Patrick, it is a reality of what the profession that he lived. And that is what we must understand. It is sad if it's just on more of the material side or the worldly side. And that's not what St. Patrick's Day is all about. Yes, it is to honor St. Patrick, the Irish, because of what the Irish gave to Catholicism. As I say, the Irish, the monasticism, the monks of Ireland are very much responsible for a great conversion of people. And that is what we must be honoring on a day like St. Patrick's. But as I say, read the breastplate. Try to find the true breastplate of St. Patrick. And see what he believed in and what he preached to these people in order to convert a whole country. So you have to see, in order to do that work, one, it has to be the work of God. But it also has to be for that instrument, one that is willing to do that work for God. That through his example and through his preaching, the people converted. It wasn't empty words that he was giving to them. And obviously it wasn't just a following of him. It was a following of God. And that is what St. Patrick gave to the Irish. But as I say, what I quoted for you, it shows his confidence in our Lord. It illustrates his faith that he had in Almighty God. And that is why the breastplate is a beautiful prayer. It helps us, especially if you remember the three Sundays previous to the starting of Lent. It kept reminding us of the confidence, the trust in God. And here we have the breastplate of St. Patrick. It means the same thing. It shows to us the confidence and the trust of God that St. Patrick had. And so through his life, through his example, through his preaching, he gave this country Catholicism. And as I say, it has continued on since the 4th century. And yes, as I say, unfortunately now, visiting Ireland, you can see it's slipping away from being this bastion of Catholicism, which is unfortunate. Because when we look at it, the falling of, we can say, the greatest is the worst. And that's what we see when we think of Italy, if we think of France, all of these different countries that are Catholic by name, Mexico, all these different ones, and if they fall away from that, of how bad that it is. So we must pray for Ireland to convert back, to hold to what has been given to her. And so that is the thing that we must try to understand for ourselves too. We have been given so much too. And so if we lose that, of how bad that is. And so let us truly pray to St. Patrick. Let us pray to also St. Joseph, whose feast day we celebrate tomorrow. He is the patron of the universal church. These two saints that we have so close, it should give to us a greater trust and confidence in Almighty God because of the saints that he has given us to have this devotion to. And so let us pray to them to help us to have the confidence and the trust and the faith in God, of what God has given to all of us. Let us pray for that. And I will leave you with something from the breastplate that I think is very fitting with this time period as we prepare for Easter. It is St. Patrick's way of showing his belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I bind to myself this day the power of his resurrection with his ascension. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."